One of the main word of faith teachers to children say we can't teach children like we used to children teach them. I think that's sad. He said it's very difficult to take a group of children now and set them in a place and teach them by talking to them, by teaching them, because he said we're a, I don't even know all the names, but we're an iPod generation. We've got DSs, right? We've got, what are some of the names? Cell phones, that's right. We've got Wii's, that's right, those kinds of things. All the children do everything they do. My daughter told me the other day, she said, I hate that Xbox. Says that's what he wants to do all the time. Well, you see, folks, we've come into a place where our children are not being raised by us, but they're being raised by society and all the things society brings out. And so children don't, they expect everything to be high-tech anymore. Now, I'm not against high-tech teaching. I like high-tech teaching, but I think it's a bad situation ever to get in. Had you ever heard the word or the term ADD, ADHD, PSTD? Think about it. What's going on? Is it just chemical? I don't think so. I think there's a spiritual problem going on. I don't believe in beating kids. Anybody here a beater? If you are, well, I adjure you, stop it. I don't believe in beating kids, but I do believe in spanking kids. I believe that's one of the problems that we have nowadays, is that children are allowed to just seek their own level. And, I'm not on TV today, so I can say that. You know, John Stocker said that one time on TV, and Channel 7 or 9 or 1 was out there with their trucks the next day trying to find out about if they believed in child abuse. Well, we don't believe in child abuse, but we believe that God knew what he was talking about when he said, you know, that there is a rod. And the rod of instruction sometimes has to be applied to a little child with love. Big problem we have is people wait until they get angry before they try to chasten. If you're angry, you'll always do it wrong. So don't let anger come. And, you know, I'm saying that not about the children. I'm saying that about us. How many of you know we need to be chastened? How many of you know that we need to be hearers of the word? And how many know that we're an entertainment generation? You know, even when we have a song service, we wait for everything to come from up here. Now, it's true that they pick the song selections, but when the songs are over, man, that's your cue to cut loose. Really? Just cut loose. Start praising God. You say, well, I'm a quiet person. You won't be in heaven. Should I say that again? I said, you won't be quiet in heaven. Amen. Well, that's my personality, to be quiet. I won't even lead in silent prayer. Oh, but you see, in heaven, we're all going to be given praise to God. We're all going to be given glory. So we need to get out of this one song to another. We watch one act to another, one sermon to another. No, that's not the way God... He expects us to be building. Oral Roberts was told by the Holy Spirit years ago, he says, teach your students about ORU. Teach your students to hear my voice. And to go where my light is dim and my voice isn't heard. The end of that is, their works will exceed your works, and in this I am well pleased. Well, you see, people, that's the way it's supposed to be when the congregation comes together. We've come and everybody thinks, well, I've got a place. What would have happened if Philip, y'all know who Philip was in the Bible? Philip was one of the first believers who, unfortunately, translators called him a deacon. Sometimes I get tired of the Greek because we adopt those words, don't even know what it means. Diakonia. People say, oh, they were deacons. They were the deacons. What is a deacon? What's a diakonia? A servant. He was one of the servants in the early church that helped with the administration of what was given out to the widows and the poor people. But you see, he did that for a while, but he did it and he listened and he learned and he was taught. And the next time we see Philip, where is he? He's up in Samaria. And what's going on in Samaria? Healings. Devils are being cast out. Many, many people are coming to the Lord. Even people out of the cults around about. People that lead the cults are coming to the Lord. Because Philip knew that God's building his body. And so you who sit here today, I see pastors in this place. I see evangelists in this place. I see people in this place today that are teachers. I see people in this place today that are prophetic. You say, but I don't feel that way. And here's the first thing we try to do. We try to just look and say, well, if I was going to do that, what would I say? Well, it doesn't work that way. The anointing doesn't work that way. You all understand that, don't you? The anointing doesn't work just because we sit here and say, okay, now I'm going to hear from you, God. You ever do that? I'm straining to hear, right? Do you do that? Try to do that? Well, that doesn't work. You know how I do it? Sometimes I get up, like this morning I got up about, 5:20, something like that, and I just sat down. I even had a cup of coffee. I just sat though. And I just was sitting listening. And I'm always thinking, Lord, I want to hear from you. I want to hear what you have to say. And I'll be sitting there and all of a sudden, you know, my mind, my heart will just take off. And I won't even know I'm hearing from God for a long time, you know. But He's taken control and He'll take me into things many times after I pray in the Spirit. I don't realize anything's going on. But all of a sudden, things will start to work in me. Just start to work in me. And so it's as I walk along and do things, and all of a sudden, this will just rise up on the inside. Well, it's that way for all of us. And God's got an army. Amen? Amen. That's right. And I love it when they hear it. I believe it. We were here one time praying, and Cherie was here, and she had joy on the floor. And Cherie made a statement. Cherie said, God is speaking to His children. And she no more had it out of her mouth. And Joy said, ah! And Henrietta got to laughing. And she said, sometimes I'm sure God probably has been speaking to us until finally He knows we're not listening. He goes, ah! It's amazing how much God really wants to talk to us and lead us and guide us. And that's a manifestation of His glory. Amen? Amen. Amen. So say that with me. Say, I'm a doer. Say, I am a doer. I'm not just a confessor. I believe in confessing the Word, but I'm not just a confessor. When I read the Word, I'm reading to see what it says I can do. You say, but well, how do you do that when you're in Leviticus? Oh, you need to go through Leviticus with me sometime. The Lord has opened up Leviticus to me. It suddenly has become an interesting book. And by the way, we are going to go back to our series on offerings one of these days. But the Lord said, you stay in glory till I tell you to leave it. So we're going to be in glory for a while, I think. Amen? Praise God. John 14:21. We'll read 21, 22, and 23. And Father, I ask you, Lord, as we look into your word today, because we do love your word, and we do consider your word to be as hidden treasure. Lord, not just the overt teaching of the word, but those hidden things that you have in there for us, the treasures that you have. Lord, we desire to see them, and we ask you to show them to us today. Give us wisdom and an understanding heart so that we might know the plan of your calling. Show us today, we pray, so that we might hear and do every word of God, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. John 14:21. Jesus said, He that hath my commandments. What would be another word for commandments? instructions, my Torah, my Torah. He that hath my commandments, my Torah, and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. I'm going to stop for a second. He that hath my commandments. Anybody here have his commandments? Amen. Anybody here got it? Where do you have it? In your heart, and you still have to take some out of the book, right? Because we don't get it all in our heart. And by the way, you know, let's just make a deal with one another. It's called covenant today. That if it doesn't say it in the Word, we're not going to be bothered with it. There's a whole lot of silly teaching going on in books and writings that we don't need to be spending our time on. I mean, people come up with things that just sometimes astound me. If it isn't in the Word and you don't see Jesus functioning in it, you know, people can justify anything. People believe they're doing the work of God by marching. You know, going out and marching. Well, I don't see Jesus doing a whole lot of marches or carrying signs, do you? Now, if you've been doing it, don't get mad at me. I'm just trying to challenge you a little bit. But people that go out and say, no more abortion. Well, I believe in writing letters and all that. I believe that's fine. That's something you can do to influence. But I want to tell you something. I don't see Jesus ever getting in a shouting match with anyone about anything. And so if I don't see Jesus doing what the Word says, then I have to say, well, maybe I've misapplied some of the Word. Not against you if you've done it. I'm just saying I believe there's ways you can spend your time better in strong spiritual battle and intercession. You believe that? Amen. Now, he that hath my commandments. Everybody here got them? Anybody here doesn't have the commandments? We've all got them, don't we? And keepeth, or keep. Word means to guard. And do. He that keeps them. He says, he it is that what? Loveth me. And shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will do what? And will manifest myself to him. What's glory? What is glory? What do you mean when you say, Lord, show me your glory? Manifest to me. Manifest yourself to me. I want to see your manifestation. Let me ask you a question. If he that hath the commandments and keeps them loves God, what if you don't do what he tells you to do? Could I ask you that question? Just, you don't have to answer out loud, but would it be appropriate to say if you have his commandments and don't follow the instructions, you're not loving him? Is that fair? People say, I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. And he said, why do you say to me, you love me, and you don't keep my commandments? He said, why do you call me Lord and don't do what I say? Right? So we need to be doers. That's what we've been talking about. But I want you to notice this. He says, if you do, and everybody here say, I do. Have the commandments. I do. Keep them. I guard them in my heart. And I do them. And I love him. I love Jesus. And he says, if you do that, he says, he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. And I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Judas says unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? You see, somehow they knew this, that Jesus was going to manifest to the ones that loved him, but he's not going to manifest to the world. Now think about it. You know, when you talk about manifestation is something that can be overtly seen, right? So Judas, I think we call him Thaddeus in other places, says, how is it now that you could overtly manifest yourself to us and the world wouldn't recognize it, wouldn't see it? Remember that? Well, he knew from what Jesus had said earlier, because if you look back up in John 14:17, it says, even the Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive. The world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But you know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. And so really what we see here, that what Jesus is speaking about when he's talking about manifesting himself to us, is by means of his Holy Spirit, right? It's by means of the Spirit of God that we see and have manifestation. The manifestation of the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12:7 says, the manifestation of the Spirit's given to every man to profit with all. That's the Holy Spirit in the midst of his temple. That's how he manifests. So now, let's talk a little bit about this manifestation. How many of you have ever prayed that way? You say, you pray and you get done, you say, I believe it now. I'm only waiting for the manifestation now, right? You do that? There was a story told about a man that had a young boy. In fact, I heard Keith Moore relate this. He said a young man had a little boy, and the little boy had hit his leg and hurt his leg. And he was crying, and the dad came up and laid his hands on his leg, and he prayed with him, and he said, now, we've said amen, son, now we just wait for the manifestation. He came back in a little bit, and the boy sitting there rubbing his leg, and he said, son, are you okay? And he says, yeah. And he said, well, now just wait for the manifestation. And about 10 minutes later, he came back, and he saw the little boy there, and the little boy looked up at his dad and said, Dad, when's that man from the station coming? And so we kind of have to watch that when we talk to people about manifestation, that they understand what we're talking about, amen? That we keep believing. We keep believing. Jesus answered and said in verse 23 again, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. Wow. Think about what he's talking about here. It's powerful, isn't it? So what is manifestation? What is manifestation? Let me read the 23rd verse part of it anyhow to you from the Amplified. I'm just going to save time. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but the last part. He said, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will show, reveal, or manifest myself to him. Listen to this. I will let myself be clearly seen by him. Does God have the ability to allow us to see him when others can't? Do you remember the people on the road to Emmaus walking along with Jesus? These two disciples walking along. What did the Bible say? It said their eyes were holden, King James says. Their eyes were somehow veiled so that they couldn't recognize him. And when did they recognize him? When he broke bread at the meal. They saw it again. They must have been present at the Passover meal. Then they saw him. So it says, he says, I'll let myself be clearly seen by him, and I will make myself real to him. Think about it. I'll let myself be clearly seen by him, and I will make myself real to him. Is that what you want? Is there anybody here that doesn't want that? Anybody that loves God wants that. Amen? I want to clearly see him. I want to have his revelation of him made known in my life in a clear way. In an absolutely clear way. We think about Moses. Moses said in Exodus 33:18, he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. I don't know if you know where Moses was when he said that. Remember, Moses had been called by God. The mountain had been aflame, and there had been smoke and thunder and all kinds of things going on the mountain. And Moses is standing off looking at the mountain. And God says to Moses, come up into the mount. So Moses walks up into the cloud. He's up in the cloud, going higher and higher into the cloud. And he's up into the cloud, and he's talking with God. God's talking with him there. He's talking, and the cloud's thick around him. Now, most of us would say he was in the glory, wouldn't you? And he was. But what did he say while he's in there? All of a sudden he just blurts out, show me your glory! Because what he was seeing still was dark. Did I frighten someone? Show me your glory. I want to see your glory. And that's the way we are. Once we get a taste of the glory, we want to see more. We want more of His glory. I want to see the glory of God. I want to see it. Somebody said, well, Pastor, by and by in the sky we'll see His glory. By and by we'll all be changed and we'll all be, and then we'll see His glory. But did you know the Bible teaches that there's glory here in the earth and here in right now? Don't wait till you get to heaven. That's the problem with people. There's too many people just singing when we all get to heaven. And we're not talking about God's got an army marching through the land. There's going to be glory here on earth. There was glory in Jehoshaphat's army, wasn't there? Jehoshaphat marched out. God said, you don't have to fight in this battle, Jehoshaphat. So He sent forth the priests and He sent forth the singers and the praisers, and they began to worship God and sing, for the Lord is good and His mercy endures forever. And all of a sudden the Bible says the glory of the Lord came in and discomfited the armies that were against Him. And they were all defeated without ever firing a shot. Amen. Without ever drawing a bow. Without ever swinging a sword. God manifested His glory. He wants to do it today. He wants to do it today. To see Him clearly. That's what I desire. To have Him show me His glory. To make Himself real to me. Himself real to me. I want to tell you, nothing can compare with that. Think about it. What if you could ask for anything? Aladdin's lamp, and the old genie comes out and he says, just 3 wishes, right? You know, that's the way the world thinks about it. What do they ask for? They always ask for wealth and riches. And you know, what would you ask for if you could just ask for anything from God? There's really nothing better than to see Him that way, is there? Because once you move into that, I'll tell you, everything else opens up. Everything else will open up as we move into the fullness of His glory. I wonder how we could get into that, don't you? I wonder how we could get into the glory of God like that. Do you ever wonder about it? How can we do it? How can we do it? I'm going to tell you something. The Bible tells us how to do it. The Bible tells us how to do it. The Bible says in John 11:40, Jesus was at the tomb of Lazarus. Do you remember this? He was at the tomb of Lazarus and He told him, open up the tomb. And I believe it was Martha that said, Lord, he stinks. And Jesus said, didn't I tell you that if you would what?
Believe.
If you would what?
Believe.
If you would believe. If you would believe. You would see glory. You'd see the glory of God. What do you have to do to see the glory of God?
Believe.
Do what?
Believe.
Are you doing it? Well, you see, how do we come to the place of believing? What brings us to the place of believing? My brother-in-law told me one time years ago, incidentally, he got saved after this, years later. But he told me, he says, I wish I could believe like you. I just wish I could believe like you. Well, the truth is, anybody can believe like I believe. God's no respecter of persons. I don't have anything. I don't have an edge on anybody. There's not a thing that I have that qualifies me more than anyone else. Nor is there anyone in this congregation that's more qualified than anyone else to believe God. We can all believe Him the same way. Everyone. Now, you might not all be called to the same calling. That would be kind of boring, wouldn't it? How would you like to see a whole bunch of Pastor Terrys walking around, little robots, automatons? Little Pastor Terrys, we go on like this. You wouldn't like that. No, because we're all different. We all have different callings. Different ways of doing things. But God can put the same believing power in each one of us. Where does it come from? Come on, saints, where does it come from? Came right out of verse 21. What? Obeying the commands of God. And how can you obey the commands of God unless you... You have to hear. Shema Yisrael means hear. Hear. Shema. Shema. Listen. Hear. Because faith comes by... And...
Hearing.
And...
Hearing.
And...
Hearing. Gary.
And?
Gary.
And I could keep going. Because your faith will continue to grow as you continue to hear. So he that hath my word, my Torah, my commandments, and keepeth, guards them to do them, loves me. I don't know if you know it or not, but this love relationship makes faith easy. I always can tell when I'm in faith. Faith faces things like this. It may quote a scripture and then it says, no sweat. That's right. Faith, when I'm in faith, I rest. I get to a place of just resting. I told the story last week about Kathleen having the toxic shock syndrome and how God put me in a perfect place of rest where I just absolutely would not receive the evil report. It just couldn't get in. And I told you how that she was supposed to spend 2 weeks in the hospital, and we went back the morning after she was admitted and they already had her dressed and ready to go home. And it was eventually proven to be toxic shock because she did just what the doctor said. Her hands and her feet began to peel later on. We took her in. Her blood pressure was 40 over zero. The doctor said if she hadn't been a gymnast, she couldn't even have walked. They said you had to be in good shape to get up and walk with blood pressure like that. But you know what? I knew that she was fine, going to be all right. I knew it. That's when faith's in operation. Now, you can't make that happen. You can't strive to do that. You can't build up faith like that. You only get it by hearing and hearing and hearing the Word of God until suddenly, when the enemy comes to you and he says, here, you're hungry? Take this stone and make it bread. You don't have to get in some kind of a verbal sparring session with him. Glory! But instead, what do? You say, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And you know what I believe happened to Jesus right at that time? There was no sense of hunger anymore. I believe he just walked right on out of that victorious, don't you? And so it is with us when the temptations come, when the trials come, when the difficulties come, when our sons are going before judges. Yeah. By the way, this has happened more than once, you know. This didn't just happen to Mikey. Some of the rest of us know what that's about too. When our children are being harassed in different ways, suddenly we just come to the place that they may call and say, what are we going to do? We say, we're going to believe God. And suddenly the rest of God just takes over and faith's in operation. He that hath my commandments, my words, and keepeth them. Faith gets easy. Faith, you know what? Listen, I know some of you are not going to like when I say this, but when you get into this point, your prayers will get shorter. Your prayers will get shorter. Why? Because you know that what you're saying is the will of God because you're speaking God's Word. And when you speak God's Word, you know that you have the request that you've desired of Him because you've come to Him according to His will and you're not trying to convince God of anything. What a sad situation, people trying to make God do something by convincing Him. We don't convince Him. He's just waiting for us to come with His Word so He can move His arm. Amen? Take care of it. Praise God. I believe we're coming to a place where we can believe. In fact, I'm doing it right now. I'm believing for the manifestation. I'm believing for God to clearly show us Himself. I'm believing for God to show us a New Testament church. Are you? I'm tired of religion. I've been tired of it for years, but I have to confess to you, it's so hard to break out of it. And part of the problem is people. Amen? People make it hard to break out of because there's a certain expectancy. For one thing, it's a quarter to 12. And most people think when you come to church, you ought to get out by 12 because after all, we've got plans. Don't get all excited. I want to get you out pretty close to that today. Maureen Magnuson called me the other day and was telling me about going to some meetings with a man. And she said they were staying until 2 and 3 o'clock in the morning for these meetings. Well, we haven't come to that yet, but I'm believing for it. Because I believe when God's glory begins to manifest, people won't want to go. I don't think that we'll have teaching meetings that go on and on and on like that so much, but glory meetings, yes. I believe they'll do that. I believe they'll do that. I think it's time for us to learn how to come together. Not just to come together in assembly, but to come together in spirit. Come together. Know how to come together and believe God for manifestation. To believe Him. To believe Him. The days of the manifestation of the glory of God, when will they come? They're upon us. Say, now's the time.
Now's the time.
Today's the day.
God's manifesting
Himself.
God's manifesting Himself.
I'm going to get out of the way and let Him do more. We have a part in it, though. That's good. We have a part in this, don't we? And see, this is the hard part. Preachers have a hard part. Teachers have a hard part. Because we're so used to just having to do everything. To do and teach and bring. But you know, that's not what God wants. It's not what God wants at all. He wants people coming in so filled with the Spirit and kind of already shaken before they get here. Amen? I mean, it's a wonderful thing when the message gets people stirred up. That's great. But God's looking for a time when people are going to start coming together that way. Stirred up. Ready to go. Excited. Moving. I'm believing for it. Are you believing with me? Can you get an agreement for this? Do you know what it means to be in agreement with this? It means you're believing just like I'm believing. And if our voice were heard, it would be one voice. One voice. That's agreement. That's agreement. Matthew 18. Jesus was teaching how we treat people when they've wronged us. We've used this scripture quite often just to talk about how to get prayers answered, but really Jesus was talking about if someone has done you wrong, how you will handle them and how you will restore them and how you'll bring them back into the body when they've done wrong. Kim had a tremendous testimony a few weeks ago of a man that just really, I mean, did her wrong. Did her wrong. His evil mouth was going about telling things that were just totally untrue. Told her, can I share that part? Told her, you owe me money. And she says, I knew in my heart I didn't owe him any money. But said, the Holy Spirit said, give him money. Give him exactly what he asked for. And it wasn't just $1.398 either. She wrote out a check to him and sent it to him. Didn't hear anything from him. Didn't hear anything for a long time. Then all of a sudden she had shared this in the body here. She gets a text that's blank. And he accidentally sent something he didn't even mean to send. But when she called him to say, or she texted, did you text him back or call him? Texted him back and said, I got a blank text. Did you need something? He said, call me. And when she did, the man broke before her. God did a miraculous restoration. Miraculous. That's glory. That's glory. Like I said, we believe for health. We believe for our wealth. We believe to get things. We believe so we can have wisdom. But most of the time, we spend a lot of our time believing for me. We're kind of like that little boy. Hello, God, my name's Jimmy. I'll take all you'll give me. Right? It's kind of like that. Or about that old farmer that used to pray for him, his wife, and his son, and no more. That's what he said. That's who I pray for. And you think about how we even teach to pray so many times. You know, our children aren't really taught to reach out into the world, think about the lost. Sometimes I get to thinking about God and all the people He's got to take care of. You ever think about them? Because the Bible says He loves them. He loves them. And because I believe the Word of God, I have to believe that's genuine love, that God loves them. So, you know, when I get angry at somebody, I'm getting angry at somebody God loves. You understand what I'm saying? So I began to think about that and meditate on that a little bit and think about it. And I thought, you know, if God loves like that and the love of God is shed abroad in my heart, then I ought to start having that love for everyone. I got to tell you something. I love this group of people that are here today. I love you. I have a love for you. And people say, well, you know, it won't. Nobody will miss if I'm gone. I want you to know I miss you when you're gone. I do. I literally, you know, I feel a yearning to be with you. I enjoy that. And I believe that's God's training us up to become one in the way He is. But I love, and I'm learning to love more and more and more, even on the roads, even when people cut me off in traffic. I'm learning to love. Love and bless and don't curse, right? Amen. Here the Scripture says, again I say to you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything they shall ask, it shall be done of them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, into my name, there am I in the midst of them. Can you agree?
Hallelujah.
Do you know how to get into agreement? Oh, you're doing it. I can tell. That's what's happening. You see, it just begins to come out. It's just like Moses was when he's standing there. He's seeing this great manifestation of the power and glory of God and still says, Lord, show me your glory. He wants more. I want more. I want to grow in this. I want to glow in this. I don't ever want to leave the glory of God. The greatest thing we could have in our life is for Yahweh God, to be clearly seen by us. To make Himself clearly known to us. Now God's prophesied all kinds of glory. Did you know that? God says there's great glory coming. And I believe, how many believe that every word of prophecy will be fulfilled? How many know that many words of prophecy have already been fulfilled, but there's yet a lot to be. Let me give you some that haven't been fulfilled yet. Here's Numbers 14:21. God says, but as truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. All the earth. Say, all the earth. What's that going to look like? In Psalm 72:19, it says, and blessed be His glorious name forever, and let the whole earth be filled with His glory. Amen and amen. The whole earth is going to be filled. We need to actively trust for this. We talk about, what words do you put out for healing? Well, I put out this word that I spoke to Torin today. I am the Lord that heals you. I put that word out for healing. Now, I want glory. I need to start putting words out for glory. And what words do I put out? Well, I don't personally believe I can come up with a better prayer than God's already stated in His Word. How about you? I think this is one of our problems. We try to editorialize on what God says, and we get into some real beautiful, flowery prayers. But what does God want to hear? Bring my word to me. Bring my word to me. And so I'm going to say, Lord, your word says that you're going to let the whole earth be filled with your glory. I believe you for it. Father, you said all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. I believe you. I trust you for that. I'm putting my faith out in the same way I put it out for Torrin's healing. And Torrin, don't you let the devil tell you anything, but you are the healed of God. You know that? And it's not only in that area, but in every area. Anything else that's bothering you, anything else that's hurting you, you're healed right now from the top of your head to the soles of your feet. You're well, healthy, whole. You're going to walk out of this place in victory. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. Habakkuk 2:14 says, "For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." Right now we got crude oil on the face of the Gulf of Mexico. Let's replace it with glory. Let's believe that God's going to take His glory. What do you suppose would happen if the glory of the Lord suddenly were manifest in the area of that oil spill? The Creator of oil could do something with it, couldn't He? Amen? Glory. We need to get active in our believing, active in our trusting. Let's move beyond getting our needs met. Let's start agreeing with His promises for the kingdom of God to be manifest on this earth. Isaiah 45 says, "And the glory of the Lord," 40 and verse 5 says, "And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it." Who's going to see it?
We are.
Who else is going to see it? All flesh. If you got flesh, you're going to see it. Wow. It's already happened. These are things that are promised, but these things have already happened too. Do you not think that it was glorious when the Red Sea split? Can you imagine what that would have been like? Can you imagine that the Egyptians were so stupid after seeing God open up the Red Sea in front of His people that they would go in behind them to do them harm? I mean, that's stupidity gone to seed, isn't it? Boy, that was glorious. And you know, when they got across the Red Sea in Exodus 24:17, it said, "And the sight of the glory of the Lord was like devouring fire on the top of the mount in the eyes of the children of Israel." All the children of Israel saw this fire in the top of Mount Sinai. They could see it. It's already happened. Think of that. Exodus 33:10, before Moses went up into the cloud, it said, "And all the people saw the cloudy pillar stand at the tabernacle door, and all the people rose up and worshipped every man in his tent door." Exodus 40, verse 33 says, "So Moses finished the work." Say, "finished the work." What work did he finish in Exodus chapter 40? What was now ready in Exodus chapter 40? What?
Tabernacle.
The tabernacle was ready. It was all done. He said he finished the work. He finished the work. What had he finished? It was a tabernacle, the Mishkan. But what is a Mishkan? What is a tabernacle? What was it? Just tell me, define it for me. What is the tabernacle?
A place of worship.
A place of worship, but...
A place of the glory.
A place of the glory, or the dwelling place of the Shekhinah of God. The God Himself lived in the tabernacle, didn't He? That's why He had Him build it like that. Not so that He would be inaccessible, but so that He could protect the people of Israel from the brightness of His glory. What were they building for Him? A dwelling place. A dwelling place. Well, now wait a second. We know something about what happened when the veil of the temple was rent in two. What happened? The what? The glory escaped, and the access to the holiest of all was transferred, wasn't it? Where was it transferred to? Ooh, glory to God. Boy, that ought to send chills up and down your spine. It was transferred to you. It was transferred into the people of God. Now there's no longer they may rebuild the temple. Many people believe it. I tend to believe they're going to have to rebuild a temple. But the glory of the Lord will never be in that temple. It can't ever be there because now the glory of the Lord is in us. And so when Moses finished the earthly tabernacle, verse 34 of Exodus 40 says, "The cloud covered the tent of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle, and Moses could not enter in." He couldn't even stand in the presence of that. We see another picture of it later on when they built the earthly temple, Solomon's temple, in 2 Chronicles chapter 5 and verse 1 says, "Thus all the work that Solomon had made for the house of the Lord was," say it was, "finished." Say, "finished."
Finished.
Verse 13 tells what happened after it was finished. It said it came even to pass as the trumpeters and the singers were as one. This is agreement, people. If you're listening, this is the same agreement that's being spoken of in Matthew 18 and 19. They were as one. They were agreeing and they were believing. That's what they were doing, weren't they? They were in agreement and their faith was as one. There was a unity. They were in accord. All in one accord. In one place. You remember that statement on the day of Pentecost? It said to make one sound and to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. And when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music and praised the Lord, saying, for His good and His mercy, His chesed, His loving kindness endures forever, that then the house was filled with a cloud. The cloud's coming. There's a cloud coming. There's a chance of clouds. There's a promise of clouds for us, isn't there? Even the house of the Lord. I wonder if our congregational meeting shouldn't look like this. That the glory should fill the house. Has it happened? Do we have biblical evidence that that happened? When the people came together, the whole place was shaken. Do you remember that? You remember when Peter and John went back to their own company and they came back and they began to pray? It says the whole place was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Same Holy Spirit that they'd been filled with days before, but suddenly a new and more powerful anointing. The glory of the Lord was manifest in their midst. Congregational meetings ought to be something more than people sitting in pews. How many believe that? How many of you believe the dance maybe is in order in God's house? I believe the dance is in order. I believe musicians eventually will begin to move by the Spirit of God and just begin to play and worship God in the spirit of holiness. Nobody's going to have to say, and now will the organist please come to the front? And will you all rise so that we could sing hymn number 432? We'll sing the first and the last stanzas. I'm sorry. I'm not trying to make fun. I'm just showing you how it could be if we all began to work in one accord and all come into a place of unity. Paul saw it coming. Paul told the Corinthian church in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Let me finish 2 Chronicles 5:14. It said, when this cloud came in, that the priests could not stand to minister by reason of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord had filled the house. You suppose there'd be a day when none of us could stand? Would you desire that kind of a day? Would you desire that? You know, He's not going to bother us if He doesn't bother you, Paige. You can stay in here. We're fine. We couldn't stand because of the cloud. The whole of us be on our face before the glory of the Lord. I believe it's time. That 1 Corinthians 14:26, this is my final scripture for today. How is it then, brethren, when you come together, everyone, say everyone. Could I see the hands of everyone, please? I don't want to see the hands of no one, only everyone. Everyone. Now let me see the hands of anyone. That's us, isn't it? The hands of us, every one of us, hath a what? A psalm. What is a psalm? That's some musical praise. Hath a doctrine. What's a doctrine? That's a teaching from the Word of God. Hath a tongue. You heard a tongue today. You heard an interpretation today. You heard a prophetic utterance today. Hath a revelation. What does a revelation look like? Oh, there could be many different kinds. Somebody might look at someone and say, the Spirit of the Lord has shown me. And they begin to tell them what the Lord has shown them. And they just, the Holy Spirit begins to read their mail. You know what I'm talking about? Just tells them exactly, and he tells them steps to take. Tells them ways to turn. That's a revelation. Or it could be that somebody gets some deep sod. The Hebrews call this sod. The deep revelation comes out of the Word sometimes. And oh, there's deep revelation in God's Word. It could be a revelation like that. Or half an interpretation. But let all things be done unto edifying. You see what would be done? People wouldn't be trying or vying for position or place, but all of a sudden, as the Holy Spirit moves, maybe in between us all being on the floor, somebody would eventually get up and begin to give something, begin to sing something, begin to do something. Could you be part of that? I mean, would you like to be part of that? I mean, would that be what would please God if we come into that kind of a situation? Well, will you believe with me for it?
Yes.
Are you in agreement with me for it?
Yes.
Do you believe we can come to the place where our voice is like one voice in here? Where we speak and say the things that please God? I give sermons because I'm teaching. And there will always be teaching meetings. I believe that. But I don't believe that's the only meeting God desires. I believe there's many others. And the Scripture tells us that as we see the day approaching, we should expect to come together more than we do now. Boy, it's like pulling teeth sometimes to get people together for any meeting. Because everybody's going... But I believe that there's going to be a time when God's going to show us what's really important. And it may be dramatic when He does it, because there may be a bunch of stuff that's gone that we used to think was precious. Yes?
I have a word from the Lord.
Praise God. Bring it out. That's good response. Let's get a microphone. Let me get another one. This one's low battery. Blue.
Praise God. Okay. The Lord has been speaking to me this week, and He told me on Tuesday He wanted to release a word in church today. And the word is freedom. And I believe that MJ's was a prophetic thing. And that's a beginning, that God's loosing a freedom among His people right now. And there are some people who, when we're talking about the glory, have been held in bondage. Your soul has been in bondage. And you want that glory, and you have desired it, but you haven't known how to get there. And there is something you feel that has hindered you from even wanting to press in more. And you don't know what it is, you can't explain it, but it is there and it has been a hindrance for you. And God wants to tell you, He is declaring freedom over that bondage today in Jesus' name. It has hindered your joy. You have felt like you've wanted to just worship the Lord. You've wanted to worship God. But you've had a setback, and that setback has held you in bondage. Or you've had circumstances in your lives, a heaviness that's been upon you that you haven't known how to break off of to enter in the fullness of God. You see other people with full of the zeal of the Lord, and you want that zeal, but there's a part of you that really resists it. And so you agree with the glory, but you don't know how to get it. And the Lord says it's because you have been in captivity. And the Lord is declaring today freedom to the prisoners. And release in Jesus' mighty name. So I'm speaking to every captive in the name of Jesus. And I say, be free in the name of Jesus. He calls you into freedom, complete freedom. And you can receive that. And I believe you are receiving it right now. Whether you are believing it right now, it's already loosed on you. Freedom to every single person who has been held in bondage. God says, be free in the name of Jesus. Today is the day of salvation.
Amen. Amen. I confirm that 100%. I want you to know I confirm it, but I want to tell you something. You'll go out of here without it unless you act. I believe if God's talking to you and you know that you've been one that you can't praise God like you want to, you can't flow like you want to, I want to tell you what I believe God's saying. He's going to say, jump up like the chains have fallen off. Get up right now like the chains are gone. Get up out of your seats right now. Don't wait for anybody. That's right. Come up like chains are gone. If you're up on the platform up there, you get up because the chains are gone. You don't let yourself miss what God's doing because the chains are gone. Amen. Hallelujah. We're free. Whom the Son has set free is free indeed. What does free indeed mean? What does it mean when we say indeed? In action. Deeds are actions. Indeed, in action. You're free in action today. So I want you to do one other thing. Because some of you can't open your mouth and give glory to God. I want you to give a shout. I'm just wait now until I tell you when. But I want you to shout to God with a voice of triumph. You can shout amen. You can shout hallelujah. You can shout yippee. I don't care what it is, but you shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Amen. Shout to Him. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We give you praise. We give you honor. We give you joy. We are free in the name of Jesus. Freedom. Freedom. Amen. Amen. One word from God. Can you say that? One word from God can change your destiny. Amen. Amen. Praise God. He'll do it. No, go ahead.
And
I don't have it on again.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, it is. It's on.
Some of you may not have felt anything, but you know what? God's going to show you, and He's going to bring confirmation to you that a work has been done, and that He's just going to bring you confirmation, whether it's in the Word or through somebody, circumstance. Perhaps you didn't feel anything, but don't believe that. The truth is the Word that was spoken, not what you feel, because you will receive confirmation.
Amen. Praise God. Praise God. That's right. Don't let feelings be your guide. It's not feelings at all. It's just obedience. Obedience and receiving what God has said is yours. Amen? Amen. Amen. Say this with me. Say, Father, as we return to your ancient ways, as we return to your Torah, as we return to your teaching and instruction, allowing the Spirit of God who empowers us, who endues us with the ability to be witnesses. We carry today the glory of the Lord. The manifestation of your glory is in our lives. We turn it loose today. We believe today that what you have begun to do, you will complete. As we have received freedom, so we shall walk in freedom. So we shall be in the middle of your liberty. We will be led by the Spirit. We will not walk in the flesh. We will be hearers of the Word. We will be doers also. We are your people, called by your name. We will go forth. And we will do exploits in the name of Jesus. And if you believe it, say amen. Praise amen. God. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lift your hands in the air. God told Moses to tell Aaron, speak this blessing over my people. He said, when he speaks this blessing, I'm going to put my name on them. Oh, do you know what that means? Oh, it's powerful. God's power and anointing for you today. Ivareka Adonai Vayishmareka. Yair Adonai Panavaleka Vikaneka. Yis Adonai Panavaleka Vyasim Lacha Shalom. And now may Yahweh bless you. Oh, let that blessing come in. That means something powerful. Yahweh bless you. Yahweh keep you and safeguard you. Yahweh make His face shine upon you and be gracious unto you, show you His favor. Yahweh, lift up the light of His countenance upon you and bring you His shalom in the name of Yeshua. Amen.